Have you ever felt so frustrated that you could cry? Maybe because you've, on a simpler level, tried to lose weight or get a better job and haven't accomplished it, or tried to move up in your position at work, or wanting your teenage child to be more careful and more responsible, or you're working at your marriage and your partner is just not willing to do their part. And you're so frustrated, you just want to cry. You can't take it anymore. And there's a sadness about the frustration. This is what Jesus feels in today's gospel. The word that's used in English is perturbed, but the Greek word in which John's gospel is originally written literally means to snort like a horse that's angry. There's a frustration at the lack of faith of the people. Time and again, John tells us, Jesus allowed this to happen so that the people would believe, and they won't. Yes, Martha said, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, who came into the world. But then moments later, she goes to Mary and says, the teacher is calling you. The teacher? Is he a teacher, or is he the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God? Which is he, Martha? Make up your mind. And then she shows her lack of faith when Jesus tells them to roll away the stone, and she says, he's been there 4 days, it's gonna smell. Martha, have you not heard what I've told you? I am the resurrection and the life. And again, he's perturbed. The people complain. He healed the sick. Why couldn't he heal Lazarus? He's perturbed. They refuse to believe, even though he tells them time and again, healing the blind man, blind from birth. They still do not believe, but they're around him. They're near him. They're following him. They think there's something important going on. And like a lot of us, we're here on Sunday, but is God deeply perturbed? Is he frustrated at our lack of faith because we're here on Sunday, but then during the week, maybe our lives are no different than anyone else? They can't tell we're Catholic. We act the same way. We speak the same way. We do the same things. Nothing's different. We're here to hear a teacher. We're not here to worship the Savior, because faith ultimately manifests itself in action. But to get there requires that we're sincere and open and honest and pray from the heart. And many of us kind of just go through the routines. We come to Mass on Sunday, but we don't pray during the week. We don't talk to God daily. We don't read the scriptures. We just come to Mass because we're supposed to or we have to. And Jesus is deeply perturbed because that will never save us. He's calling us to a relationship that is healthy. Unlike most of our relationships with one another, we're not open and honest and sincere. We're afraid how they're going to take it. We're afraid how they're going to react. We're afraid losing the person because we're being honest. We're afraid to show how we really feel because maybe they won't be our friend anymore, or they won't continue to be with us. But Martha and Mary were not afraid. They asked Jesus to come when their brother was sick, and he showed up 4 days after he was dead. They were angry. Jesus was literally 2.5 kilometers away. He could have walked there in half an hour, and he waited 4 days. And that's why Martha goes out to confront him. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. She's angry. She's frustrated. Why did you wait? Why didn't you come? You've healed the sick. You can heal him. Why did you wait for him to die? You've never raised anyone from the dead at this point. She's angry. Mary's so angry, she stays in the home. She hears Jesus is coming, but what's the point? My brother's already dead. What can he do about it? Oftentimes we can feel that way when things go wrong in our life. Now this happened. What's the point of going to Mass anymore? Why do I even pray? My loved one died, my marriage ended, my child passed away, my parents died. What's the point? She stays at home just to cry. She's not gonna go to meet the Lord. She's not gonna come to Mass to confront him. But finally, Martha goes to her and tells her, he is asking for you. And she finally gets up and she confronts the Lord as well, angry just the same. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, and he became perturbed, meaning frustrated. Why don't you believe that I can raise the dead? Do you not know that I am the Messiah? Did you not, Mary, anoint my head, my feet with perfume and wipe them with your hair as you mourned over your sins at my feet? Who am I to you? Decide. God is, I think, frustrated with me, with all of us, in that similar way. Because if we really believe that he is the Christ, the Son of living God, as we profess in the creed, then it would show by how we live a life of complete, reckless abandon to God's plan and his will in my life. My prayer every day is, Lord, what do you want of me today? How can I serve you? What is your plan for my life? What do you desire for me? How can I be fully happy as you have promised I can be if I follow you? Nothing else matters to me, Lord. I have no plans but yours, no desires but yours. Tell me, Lord, what is it you want? I want to be fulfilled. And you alone know how to achieve that. You made me for yourself, and I will never find rest until I rest in you and your plan for my life. Well, that's what it looks like when we've come into faith. But that will never happen if we're not honest and sincere and transparent with the Lord, as Martha and Mary were, wrestling with our feelings and our emotions, bringing them to the Lord openly, full-throatedly, honest, sincere. Jesus wept because time and time again, he proclaimed to them, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will never die. Yeah, but Lazarus is dead, so what do you mean? Well, Jesus is talking about dying the death, meaning death forever. That's how Satan tempted Eve. Surely, if you eat the fruit of the tree, you will not die. And he was half right. She physically did not die when she ate the fruit, did she? But like all things coming from the father of lies, there's a half-truth to lead us to the lie. You will not die. No, but she died far worse than physical. The martyrs died, went to heaven. The saints died, went to heaven. But when we die and we're separated from God, heaven's not a possibility. And that's what Satan achieved with Eve. You will not die physically. You'll just die forever in your relationship with God. And that's what he wants. He will give you the world if you would just reject life everlasting. Isn't that not what he offered Jesus in the temptations of the desert? See all these cities. I will give them, they are all mine. I will give them all to you if you would just bow down and worship me. You can have everything in this world. Just give me eternity. I'll give you this life. You give me forever. And so the question remains, will we believe in that? Will we put our faith into action and live in such a way that nothing matters more than God in my life, in my relationship with him, and hearing him speak to me in scripture, and serving and loving him in my neighbor? Because who I am is who he has made me to be, not what I dream about, what I want, or what I think, or what others tell me. I am a beloved son, a beloved daughter of the Most High God. Because Jesus tells us, as he told Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. Whoever believes in me, even if he dies, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord. I have come to believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, the one who is coming into the world. So then why did you tell Martha that the teacher is asking for you? This dichotomy, this conflict, this duality in Martha and Mary's life is a reflection of our own faith. One minute we believe, one minute we don't. One minute we profess our faith, the next minute we're breaking the commandments. But we don't even know them because we don't even care. And Jesus is perturbed, frustrated to the point of tears. See how he loved him? The Jews said, that's not why he's crying. Because then they go on to say, could not the one who opened the eyes of the blind man have done something so that this man would not have died? So Jesus, perturbed again, there's the Greek word, frustrated to the point of tears, comes to the tomb. In spite of the lack of faith of those around him, Jesus continues to act as who he is, the resurrection and the life, the Son of the living God. He calls Lazarus out from the tomb in a loud voice, and the dead man came out. Many of us remain in the tomb like Lazarus, stuck in our sin, refusing to change, stuck in our pride, our egoism. We want to do things our way. Catholicism isn't relevant. Our relationship with God doesn't matter. The more important things in our lives. But Jesus does not tire to stay outside the tomb and call us out, to pursue us. He never gives up on us. But you have to choose to come out of the tomb. God rolls away the stone, but you have to come out. But I'm tied hand and foot with burial bands, with the habits of my old sin. Even if I've come out of the tomb through the sacrament of confession, I'm still wrapped up in my bad habits and my addictions and my compulsions, and I can't see. I can hear him, but I can't see. Jesus says to those around him, untie him and let him go. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Come to me. Come to me. That's the choice this Lenten season. Will you come to him? Will you come out of the tomb through the sacrament of confession? Will you allow him to send others to untie you and help you be free of the habits, addictions, and struggles that are constant? Or you prefer to remain in the tomb because it's familiar and comfortable, and you don't really believe you could live again? Jesus was perturbed, but in spite of feeling frustrated at our lack of faith, he still goes out to meet us. And because he allowed Lazarus to die, and in spite of the lack of faith of those around him, he goes to Lazarus, he goes to Martha, he goes to Mary, he calls Lazarus from the dead. Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what had been done began to believe in him. The question is, will you?